Hey, they call me the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. Hit on the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat now. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor. I made tack tongue with a sensitive taster. I was born out in Texas, called the land of beef. Never catch a much.
Hey there, meat man. We just had a great interview with Jay Tinney. We talked to him about his championships and the pretty awesome trailer with a Southern Pride built into it that he pulled up to our studio in. And we also talked about Traeger Day, which is coming up this Saturday, May 12th.
We are looking forward to spending all day cooking. We're going to make some brisket. We're going to make some beef rib. We're going to have live videos, all sorts of fun stuff that day. And we want you to participate too. We will be using the hashtag Traeger Day. And we want you to use it as well. So whether it's cooking outside with friends, in your own backyard, going to a store, checking out Traegers, just make sure you take some photos, some video, and just show the fun you have when you're outdoor live fire cooking.
It's a day to cook together, to talk. I just got a brand new phone, so I'm going to be playing with that and all the fun social media tools on it. I'm really excited to just hang out with Doug and some of our other special guests and enjoy some good smoked meats.
I can't wait for Doug Scheiding to come visit the Meat Man studio. He's a Traeger Pro Team ambassador, and he actually requested to come over and hang out with us, Yoni.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to Uber here for sure.
It's going to be a long day. You've heard our cook episodes before, and if you haven't, go back and check the archive. But when we do it, we go hard.
Yeah, we love to make a party out of it, have a little drinks. We have all kinds of good stuff to drink, local beer, liquor, and we also have all kinds of sauces and rubs and things we're going to play with, so keep an eye out.
It's going to be a great day, and thanks to Traeger for setting this up in National Barbecue Month, creating a day dedicated to food, family, and passion. So join us and the rest of Traeger Nation that day, May 12th, and we will see you there.
Yeah, and enjoy this episode with Jay Tinney.
Whoop.
You're listening to The Best Barbecue Show, the show where we talk, taste, and even try to cook the best barbecue in Texas. Which is the best barbecue in the world? We got Jay Tinney in the studio. How's it going?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Yeah.
Stover.
Welcome to the Meat Man Studios.
Thanks for putting this together, bringing in a local expert, a local champion.
Did you see the present he brought for us that he's going to leave out front?
Yeah, the trailer with the Southern Pride built into it.
Yeah, he's giving that to us.
We're going to open up shop over here.
Jay rolled up to the Meat Man Studios in one of the coolest things that's ever pulled in front of this place. A big, giant food trailer.
For sure.
Tell us about that. Give us a little audio tour of that thing.
You know, it's a 2016 trailer that has a Southern Pride SBK 500 that obviously holds 500 pounds of meat. It's got 15 rotisserie racks. You know, I've got two stand-up proofing boxes, you know, an oven and commercial fridges, all the four sinks and the electric awnings and all the fun stuff, the satellite TVs and, you know, tailgate stuff. We got washer boards and cornhole boards, you know, just to make it a real fun atmosphere when we pull in and do these corporate events, so... It cooks a lot of meat. The most we think we cooked for it out of it's 1,500 so far, but I think we could probably do about 3,000.
So you got a mobile party, basically.
It is a mobile party. That is definitely what we strive for.
So where have you brought it recently?
You know, one of the last events we did was the closeout party for Rodeo Austin booked us here in town, and we served 1,300 people here just a couple weeks ago.
And with a rig like that, 1,300 doesn't seem like you're probably just getting warmed up.
Oh, we did that with three people. So it was fun. and also I'm not gonna lie, I did borrow one of my buddies from Operation Barbecue Relief, Joey Smith, Joe's Cook Shack here in town, loaned me his big old hickory pit too. So we had two giant pits out there to make it easy.
Awesome, man. Well, it sounds like you got a lot of friends too.
Yeah, no, we definitely, it's a pretty tight knit community in this barbecue community. Everybody's kind of brothers, you know, and takes care of each other.
And you know Ted and those guys are bangers?
Yeah, yeah. Those guys, Ted and Ben, are just killing it down there. They're having a ball. They're about to open up their new side, so they're
whole hogging it.
Yeah, they're definitely going after the full whole hog scene. And Ted's got a unique flair with that, loves pits in the ground. And, you know, they borrowed my big, giant, 7-foot-wide charcoal grill and cooked 3,000 sausages on it. Or they Ryan from Backland Fabrication built a rotisserie with a variable speed motor in it, so you can do a whole hog over my pit as well.
Wow. That's some innovative shit.
We were just talking about Bangers. Yoni was telling me, he's been in Austin a lot longer than I have. Bangers has had a real important place on a famous street in Austin, Rainey Street, mm-hmm. for a while. I mean, yeah. You were telling me that they kind of were there before a lot of the commotion happens on that street recently.
Yeah, I'm for a while it was just Luster Pearl, and I remember I moved here right before even Luster Pearl was there, and then they started converting these houses, and for a long time it was just Luster Pearl, and then this old family that lived in one of those houses that's kind of leaning, and they would just cook hot dogs for like the drunk people that were kind of trolling back and forth. So when Bangers showed up, you know, they were full immediately with all those taps and everything.
No, it's awesome. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it feels like Worst Fest, you know, but in downtown Austin. Have y'all been to Worst Fest before?
Yeah, totally.
So that's the feel I get, you know, and they're all super knowledgeable in all the beers, and me being an old school Bud Light guy, I'm trying to work my way down the list and advance my palate a little bit on beer.
Yeah, well,
a lot of beer out there.
Oh, gosh, tons. It's overwhelming.
We talked about a beer podcast, but that just seemed like a daunting task.
Ooh, beer and barbecue. No, that's hand in hand.
We talk about beer on our podcast. We're just not going to make a podcast about beer.
Oh, strictly beer.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, no, that's more more intensive than wine.
Every couple months, we will drink beer on the podcast, and those episodes stand out for sure.
Well, how do I get invited back on those days?
Oh, yeah, you'll be invited.
I can run downstairs and crack some beers right now if you want.
We got a beer fridge in the studio downstairs.
Y'all need a beer sponsor?
Yeah, right. Always.
Twisted X. We'll get you one. That's my new beer sponsor. That's who I did San Antonio Rodeo cook-off with.
That's awesome. X. Yeah, they make all kinds of good beer.
Any brewery or beer company that wants to send us like a cooler full of beer, we will absolutely consider talking about you.
Hunter Stewart, take note.
In fact, the last time I was at Twisted X, I think I drank a beer with like jalapenos in it.
You did, yeah. Yeah, they had one that was awesome for making like micheladas and stuff, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what everybody does with that one. They have one I love. It's called Gulf Coast. A play on words like Gulf Coast.
Nice.
And it's got a Talon Redfish on the label, and it's that real light blue color like the Yeti coolers. I've kind of migrated that one. That one's going down to the Devil's River with me next week. About 6 or 8 cases of that.
So how many beers does the Tinny Party Bus hold?
You know, somewhere around 3,000, I think.
that's probably enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that whenever you go to Twisted X, they just give you about 3,000 beers and then you come back in a couple months?
Yeah, and then reload, exactly. Whenever the trailer gets light again. That's the ambassador role. That's what we do.
Nice.
The last time we featured you on the show, we all met up at the NBBQA convention in Fort Worth, and that was a great time.
Boy, it was.
And the time before that we first really got tuned into you was when you won the San Antonio cook-off.
Yeah. Man, that sure was fun. I brought a little keepsake from it today. So
you brought
your belt buckle?
Can I see that?
That's the prize possession that everybody's after right
there. This thing
there
is heavy. 2018 San Antonio Stock Show and Rodeo Barbecue Cook-off and Festival. That's the 22nd annual Grand Champion.
Yeah.
That thing is killer.
Notice those rubies inlaid in the yellow. Those are real rubies? Texas. Yeah.
What?
No, that's the prize. That's what every good redneck needs one of those for sure.
Yoni's drooling. That man loves belt buckles more than anyone.
He's got some bling.
Well, and I had this belt buckle that I really liked, but it was made out of some crappy metal, so it like made my skin break out, so I can't wear it anymore.
Here, Yoni, I'll distract him while you pocket that.
Yeah, exactly.
this is like different kinds of metal. There's some silver.
Oh, yeah.
What's the black in the back? Is that some kind of coating?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a beautiful buckle they did. I got that and a first place brisket buckle as well.
Oh, well, you're going to have to make like a WWF type belt with all your buckles.
Yeah, exactly.
Over your shoulder.
Yeah.
My son's been eyeballing the buckles. He's really, he likes the sparkles on that one. He's eyeballing it.
Tell him if he puts down a deposit, he can take them.
Yeah, being 8. Yeah, that thing will disappear
8?
Into a sandbox somewhere.
Yeah. Maybe wait till he's tall enough to like look like that belt isn't the size of his head.
Yeah, exactly. When he can carry 2 pieces of wood, then he might be at a chance to wear it.
Earn it.
We need to get Jay some entrance music so we can go full on WWF.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think we should play?
I like those like old jock jams, like the dun 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 dun
dun dun dun Tinny Barbecue.
There you go.
Tinny Barbecue, brother, coming at you.
Well, that's how I feel like the Macho Man whenever we're at any kind of barbecue. I'm sure people get real psyched on what you cooked. You have a favorite thing you've cooked in the last few months?
You know, one of my favorite things that is, you know, it's barbecue too, but I do a stuffed quail and I'll stuff it with some Wagyu beef, you know, mixed with some pork sausage. Actually, the mix for sausage, you know, I don't put it in casing, you know, or I cut it out of the casing, stuff it with some smoked Gouda cheese and cheddar cheese, and then you know, grill the whole quail. They're Cernix quail. They're from a Texas quail farms out of Lockhart, and they're awesome. They're a little bit darker quail and stuff. And then I'll glaze them you know, with like one of the Texas pepper jellies and put like a pineapple or a apple cherry, you know, habanero type glaze on it. And man, those things are just, you cut them in half and they're just lollipops of goodness.
Oh, that sounds good.
And that the beef's raw, everything's raw when you put it in?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So it all cooks.
Yeah. Cook everything to temp and they are fantastic. They are really good.
Yeah, that's probably a few bites of goodness right
there.
Yeah,
it is.
They're not very big.
No, they're small and super expensive.
But, eat them in like 10 bites, but... Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the future when we just create new sorts of animals. Like you breed a chicken and a cow together and then you have a new type of meat.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what these quail are. They're out of A&M and they're a special breed that they got done. So
science.
Yeah. Science.
They're farming those basically.
Yeah. They're farming thousands and thousands. They distribute them through HEB and all of the big Ciscos and everything. And, you know, they're huge. They're a big quail farm. I've been invited down to come check it out. I'd like to go. You guys ought to come with me. Check it out.
Hell yeah. We're down. Yeah,
quail farm?
Yeah.
We're there.
Exactly.
That's one area that we want to get into more, like barbecue or brisket camp or whatever they call it. And all these, you know, there's a lot going on with meat and farming in Texas. And we'd love to meet more people that are on the front lines creating these new meats and just teaching people how to properly break down something.
Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, when you start getting into the science part of it and breaking down the animal and stuff. I mean, that's on my to-do list. You know, obviously I know how to do a lot on the comp side and catering and everything, but just breaking down a whole hog and, you know, back to the Fort Worth, you know, at the barbecue show, that was my favorite event when those guys from Boar's Night Out, you know, did the competition hog and laid it on their back. That was impressive. I was really, really impressed with what those guys did.
We were fighting there was a crowd around that. You had to like stand on someone's shoulders to see what was going on.
You see me front and center. I think I got there like 45 minutes early to get there. So I had a good video spot.
That's how you do it.
That was my class.
You know, I ate the eyeball on that hog.
You did?
Yeah. Do you want to see the video?
Yeah.
I'm going to show him the video, Yoni. We'll play the audio while we're watching this, at least a portion of it.
Yeah.
I think you're going to want to see this. Trust me. I even put this on LinkedIn, the resume website.
Oh,
I figured people should know.
Well, hey, a meat man, you got to eat it all.
People should know your wild hireability.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a listen to me eating an eyeball for a few seconds.
So Stover eats eyeballs.
I do eat eyeballs. Cool. It's the only type of balls I've had so far, but you know, I'm willing to experiment.
Hey, you can when you're in Portland, you can get some of those Rocky Mountain oysters, can't you?
They don't have good. Rocky Mountain oysters. You need to go to Portland.
Well, you fly over the Rocky Mountains. Can't you like grab one on the way?
Just reach out.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. Those are the only kind of balls I like. Rocky Mountain oysters are pretty damn good.
See, I'm a Northwest guy. I haven't really broached that yet, but.
They're shockingly good.
Great. Is that like an HEB? You got to like special order that stuff?
We used to have a party in Waco where I grew up, or actually. And one of my friend's dad would have a Thanksgiving party. It was kind of bizarre. He worked for like one of the big chicken places, but the tradition was to have the fried cow balls there every Thanksgiving. So I was a little reluctant at first, but tried one. It's like, actually pretty dang good.
Yeah. Everything's good fried.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We've been wanting to get more into kind of like cooking tips and recipes. This is a good entry point.
Yeah.
I'm serious about this. It sounds like a joke to everyone. How do you cook a ball? Or my balls? Or
fry
balls?
It at 350.
Just fry hot and fast?
Yeah. Hot and fast.
Is there a seasoning or a batter or anything?
Oh, you can do a little Tony's or a little Head Country mixed in there or something in the batter, you know, is what I would do and mix it in. Do a little buttermilk batter.
Let's do it, Yoni.
You've got that trailer out there. Does that thing have like a self level or something? If you want to fry, you probably need the pot to stay level, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, we've got all the leveling stuff to get it done.
Because there's no fryer. I didn't see a fryer in there.
No, I've got one that rolls in the back.
You got a lot of storage in the back there.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things that'll come out of that. Satellite dishes to all kinds.
Really?
Of stuff.
You got live TV?
Yeah, oh yeah. No, we got two satellites on board and, you know, got to make the tailgate fun.
That's right.
Where you tailgated UT or what?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been doing, you know, that's kind of what got me into catering actually to begin with. You know, I mean, I started doing the Austin Rodeo on giant teams and feeding thousands of people. But then I had Vincent Nelkin's law firm want me to do a tailgate for them and stuff. They'd been hearing about our barbecue. So I think we're on year six now and they're kind of the ones that... you know, kind of first paid me to do it. And now we do their tailgate every year for them. We're doing the USC game this year.
Nice. And so what's the tailgate winning recipe? What do you use it? I mean, I'm sure you make brisket and stuff, but
actually, they don't. They love finger foods. They love the ribs and the quail. That's what we do down there. And those guys, they just tear them up. So all those attorneys are, you know, that's on the list, and they don't change from it. They've stuck on that for 6 years now.
Really?
Uh huh.
But how many are you cooking for those guys?
Several hundred.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's several hundred people there, so 200 to 300 typically.
They work hard throughout the week, so
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure they're hungry.
Those attorneys are not afraid. The bar is open and the food is good.
So. And you get to park right there where you can walk to the stadium and everything?
Yeah, they give me a parking pass where I'm right in the parking lot. I actually cook the quail in the parking lot right out of the back of my truck. Yeah. So throw it on the PK grill and let it rip.
Anyone who's in Austin, if you haven't experienced a UT tailgate, you can pretty much just roam around there and people invite you in. You can try food, free beer. It's pretty fun.
That's one of the funnest parties of the year, and multiple parties, actually.
And just make sure you're wearing orange.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah, you got to wear orange. My microphone is orange for a reason.
Yeah.
we want to do a tailgate episode this year. We plan to like get out there more and with that. And we want to get our hands on one of those beefers. Do you remember that thing?
Wow.
What from the MBBQA conference?
Was that the whole beef side?
The like, what is it, 1,400 degree steak cooker?
It's basically like that broiler. Yeah. With the adjustable shelf.
Yeah, Mark Lambert was using that to do his steak and stuff. And,
he was.
Man, that thing was awesome. Yeah, they have the portable one that hooks to the propane bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Mark is the president of NBBQA,
yeah.
Sweet Swine of Mine. And I saw him cooking on that. And I was like, what is a beefer? And then we met the people involved with beefer. And I know we want one because they have a portable one you can take.
Oh,
yeah. That's
man.
Like the tailgate machine if you want to make steaks.
Yeah. And we did one live. It took less than 4 minutes.
That thing's legit. Mm-hmm. It is it's a well-thought-out product. I was eyeballing it and studying it. It's expensive, but I think it'd probably be worth it on that. I'd love to throw some shrimp in there, too.
Hey, yeah, I mean, beefer. Send Jay Tinney a beefer.
Yeah. Great product, guys.
A bunch of the guys from Beefer were telling me they're getting a new shipment. So as soon as that hits the States, hopefully we'll get one.
Man. Beef it up.
Yeah. Where was that thing out of? Australia?
Germany.
Germany. That's it. Germany.
German engineered. And they even have a Beefer knife that's Japanese style German steel, which is badass, super sharp, beautiful knife.
I should have known. Those things are precision.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The BMWs.
You got any fancy knives up in the trailer?
You know, I do. I just recently got one. Golly, I'm dropping the name right now. It's just like the Shun. We all use that curved 6-inch boning knife.
Yeah.
But it's a Japanese steel. Sorry, I just forgot the name of it. I just bought it down in San Antonio at a butcher shop. And, you know, man, those things are dangerous. You got to be careful with those. They will cut some fingers. But I love it. It's just precision on the brisket and making rounding the corners out when you're doing comp briskets. You know, and shaving that silver skin, there's, you know, you can't beat those knives. I mean, it's like having a razor in your hand.
Yep. We, we'll ask you in a bit, but we ask anyone who's on the show, their message to the meat man, and Grant Pinkerton was just on, and he said, use a sharp knife. And he mentioned the Shuns as well.
Yeah. You know, that's critical. I mean, you know, go to start hacking a brisket up with a dull knife and, you know, it ain't going to look as pretty. You get into these guys like Fred Robles and, you know, Clarence Joseph and some of these, you know, heavy hitter, Travis Clark, those guys they're precision people that know how to trim a brisket and make it look pretty in the box. And that's where it starts on the pre-trimming, you know, they're being able to round those edges. Otherwise that brisket can fall apart and just do some weird
curl
stuff
up and get burnt.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend in Connecticut who's a knife maker at Moss Rock Cutlery on Instagram, and he's made me a couple knives, but I was sending him some of the Shuns and things. He's like, oh, I can make that.
Oh,
so I'm excited
wow.
to see what he can come up with for me.
Is he doing like a Damascus steel type stuff?
He made me a Damascus steel. He also made me a really nice Nikiri type chopper.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing I need is a boning knife.
Oh, I highly recommend them. They're definitely the go-to for most of the guys that have been doing this quite a while. I finally saved my pennies, and that was my present for winning Grand Champion of San Antonio, was to finally go get a good knife. And I went and bought one. I'd bought a cheaper version. You know, one of the Wusthof, you know, $30 style on those. And it just doesn't hold the edge like those Japanese steel do.
Nice. Yeah. Grant Pinkerton was like, it's $120, and made it sound like, he's like, it's not like it's an $800 knife.
Yeah, exactly. That's expensive knife to me.
Right?
Anything over $100.
Well, a cowboy has his horse and a barbecue guy has his knife. It's the best friend.
Oh. Yeah, it is. It is.
And you know the guys from SNS, so you've seen, they've got like cleavers and these giant, they're made out of like, I don't even know. He told me it was made out of some big piece of steel from something.
Oh, yeah. No, it, you know, it's you got to have a whole selection for different things. You know, I'm you know, sponsored by Cutco too as well. You know, and not to plug those guys, but you know, I need to say that. But I definitely love their knives. I don't know if you guys have used those in the past. I mean, it's like what your grandparents had in their, you know, in their deal. And I love it because they're lifetime warranties. You know, yeah. And they hold a good edge and they're real ergonomic. But they have some really cool. You say cleaver, and that's what you know brought that up. They have their cleavers weigh 1 pound, and wow. Man, they make short business on some chopped beef and stuff. It's fun to use those things. It's a good tool to have. And I had a guy in Waco make me a custom leather knife roll, and I told him to make it look like it came from the King Ranch, you know, so it's got all tooled leather on the side. So, wow. You know, that's kind of like this buckle to me. That's one of those things that doesn't leave my side is that whole bag of knives. I love that thing.
Well, and I was talking to Brendan the other day, and he was telling me how they sharpen their, you know, they get the, like, Dexter boning knives. And they sharpen those until they're almost like a quarter inch,
yeah.
And then they just throw them out.
Exactly. Just keep them. You know, I'm, you know, I can't figure out those dadgum sticks or stones or whetstones or anything. I don't know why. Oh. I've got issues with that for some reason. Need some big time lessons, and I gave up. I have like 6 of them. If y'all need any, but
I love a good sharpening tool.
So. Yeah,
sharpening's an art. I actually learned to sharpen once my friend started making me knives because I was trying to see if I can get the knives I have as sharp as those.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I gave up, and you know, I went to one of those like work sharpness deals. Have y'all seen those? I think Cabela's has their, you know, their own brand of it, you know, but it's a belt sander, mm-hmm. You know, and I know it definitely will wear down the knives, but it puts a razor edge on it. I'm a little nervous on this new Japanese knife though, you know, because yeah. You're not supposed to use those and use a whetstone. It's like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Well, you shouldn't even need the whetstone if you have just a honer, like a sharpening steel.
Yeah.
And even like a leather strap, like a
barber strap.
Like a barber strap. That's what I use with the knives he made me, and that's all I really do to keep them sharp now.
All right, I'm going to come back on the show when I need my knives sharpened. It sounds like Yanni's got it under control.
We can.
I'll bring that one over.
Jay's going to show up with a bunch of knives going, Yanni, 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 Yanni. I'm going to just run away.
We can definitely have a tutorial offline. I'll give you links to like 100 YouTube videos I've watched now.
Yeah. If you can't figure it out on YouTube, then you got issues.
I've basically rebuilt my entire Jeep using YouTube.
Seriously, you can do everything off YouTube. It is the tell-all of everything.
Yanni always has a knife on him, a Gerber.
Yeah, I got 2 actually.
Yeah, how big?
Look at this. Look at these guys.
Oh, nice.
These guys he's got a boot knife.
Hey, Johnny Trigg would be impressed.
He's got that nice.
And I keep.
Oh, I got a knife in. Look at this little baby.
What are you carrying that for, man?
Yeah, just cut some boxes open or something.
This is what I got.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, look at mine.
Stover has the cat shaped.
Like almost like brass chain. Knuckles.
Yeah, you can punch somebody's eyes out with that.
Well, this is in case someone tries to kill me, a crazy fan or something.
Yeah.
For all the listeners who aren't in Texas, they basically rolled back all the laws so you can carry a broadsword, a spear.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure those are legal now, too.
They're legal, yeah. I mean, I went to the Capitol building with that thing.
Yeah.
this is Texas,
that's
baby.
That's a good check.
Yeah.
But let's, speaking of message to the Meatmen, do you have one?
Yeah, no, you guys, man, everybody's, this group is doing awesome. These guys are doing wonderful things, and just the whole base. I just got introduced to you guys up in Fort Worth, but I've been following it since then, just watching, you know, seeing what you guys are up to. Man, this thing's fun. I mean, everybody, all the followers that are following the Meat Man and everything, too, this is a cool group, and glad to be a part of it now. Thanks for having me.
Barbecue family, that's how we do it.
Yeah, exactly. Barbecue brothers.
And I have that eyeball video if you want to watch it out to close the show up here. I'm going to put it up to the mic here so you can hear part of it, but I'll show it to you, too.
All right. A real meat man eats every part of the animal. I say this all the time. I'm going to prove it by eating the eye. So I've never had an eye before. I hear the back of the eye is some of the best meat, so.
Have you had an eye, Jay?
No.
It's not good? You're not supposed to eat the pupil.
Don't eat the pupil, everyone.
Stover's getting some instructions.
Can you show them this pupil, Yanni?
Look at that. The close-up of the pupil.
Oh,
look at that thing.
Wow.
That's a beauty right there.
At the front and then bite the back off of it. I'm Meat Man Stover. I'm about to eat my very first eyeball.
He turned pale, a little paler there for a second.
Look at that. Two-hander. You pull out the pupil. Perfect. You take the rest and you just chew it up.
Pretty slick right there.
Actually, you know what? Where's the rest of the eyeballs on this thing? I'm going to eat them all.
That's great.
You know, the only problem with eating eyeball is there's only two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of limited. That's yeah. Well, a delicacy.
It's like the little, what's it called on the chicken? The oysters?
Yeah.
There's two of those, and those are always good.
I will eat any part of any animal. Wow. I don't want anything to go to waste. Yeah. Maybe not a dong.
You're part native, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You did like that, like a professional for sure. That was pretty slick.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
He got some good instruction. I think that was Thaddeus who actually told you how to do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Jay, where should people find you? Are you going to be cooking in the next few months?
You know, got some private events coming up. You know, do a lot of wedding and corporate stuff. You know, and I will post out though if I'm doing any kind of public stuff and put it out on you know, social media through Facebook and Instagram. And you know, you can always follow me too at Tenny Barbecue. You know, BARBECUE.com, and follow me out that direction. But appreciate everybody following us as well. And these guys are doing awesome things. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah,
thanks,
and sir. At Jay Tenny on Instagram, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, there he is, guys. Find him. Try to see if you can catch him. Eat some of his delicious stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
Go eat some meat.
They call me the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat, man. Hit on the meat man. Y'all don't see me eat, man. I got jaws like a bear trap, a teeth like a razor.
This has been a production of Glencliff Media, recorded live in Austin, Texas.